Wave to me and smile. Let me look at all of you beautiful people. Yes. When you have this beautiful light, it takes a few moments for me to be kind of taking my eagle eyes and be able to look at you. And as you're looking here, I just wanted to thank you in behalf of my wife and myself. I thank you for being covenant partners, covenant friends. One of the biggest highlights for me when I'm home and I'm not traveling the world. And my wife knows who I have been with for lunch. And I call Greg and say, hey, do you have a time? And we meet together. And I try to do it once a week. We try to meet for lunch. And one of the precious things, there's this glory management going on, where we go from glory to glory and just remind each other who we are and just remind them what God has placed on each one of us. So I'm just very, very grateful for covenant friendships. And some of you maybe know that I lost two of my closest three friends, one that I traveled with me all over the world. And for about a year, I was just going to very deep mourning. And then God says, but I'm going to restore. I'm going to be back. So even part of the restoration that God is doing here, and Michelle and Greg coming into our life, the time they did, and just bringing some of the things that I need. And friends makes you greater than you are. So I just thank you for that friendship. And I just wanted to remind our family, my wife has come up with a new book too. And I'm very excited. My daughter Courtney illustrated this book. It's also bought for parents, but it is actually a story of each one of our children. That my wife, she put a name on them when they were small. And people have asked me, how long did it take her to write it? And it was about 9 years. She had a dream for about 9 years, and then she started the process. But finally, this dream is reality. So if you want to get to know our kids and just some of the destiny, but also as you are releasing, I think it connects very good also, even with the other book that is out there. So you can get double today. So my wife, I want you to hand that out to someone right now and bless somebody with your book. Just. There we got it. Okay. Before I start, I do want to take you on a journey with me to Pakistan. Many of you know that there was this attack that was going on between India and Pakistan, and it was right in the middle of the time when I felt a specific calling. And I know you as a church, you were involved in this, you prayed for us, but this assignment was probably one of the toughest assignments that I've ever experienced. It started about 6 months earlier. We were in Australia, and I just felt this very clear calling that we need to take the love of Jesus into an area where about 1.5 million people are living. But for over 2,000 years, there's never been one missionary, there's never been one Christian. So I realized this region is so dark, and nobody's ever taken the light and the love of Jesus. So something in my spirit says, we need to go there, and we need to be able to making sure, to make it hard for people to go to hell, and easy for people to go to heaven. And that started his desire, but the enemy was very nervous about what Papa God was going to do, so these attacks started to happen. And it started with me having a sinus infection that led to my ear popped up when I was on the airplane. And I started to have this ringing sound, the tinnitus. And from there, it just got worse. And for 6 months, it was like one hit after the other. And sometimes if you recognize, even in your life, where the serpent has bitten you is where you have the greatest authority. So if you're even studying those areas where the enemy is trying to stop you in your life, it is often connected to your destiny and your calling. So right before we were leaving, and I'm about to show this video, this bombing was going on. Two suicide bombers went into Pakistan, into India. India sent two airplanes and bombed and killed 150, and all of this was going on right as I was about to go. So that's kind of set you up a little bit of the stage, and I also think about some of the message that came out of that season. I just returned back home from Pakistan, and after 25 years of going into that country and that part of the world, this has probably been one of the greatest challenges I've ever experienced. Even to the moment right before we were leaving, that's when the tension between India and Pakistan and the bombing was taking place. The airplane was shut down, and they canceled all the flights and said, it's impossible for you to come. then each one of my team members that was going to come with me was not able to get there. And eventually, through a lot of circumstances and a lot of lack of sleep, ended up in Islamabad, driving all night in the rain, ended up in a hotel room. But then as the rain started more and more, I still remember when I walked into that room, it was one of the most unpleasant experiences. And then the news came in and says, it has to be canceled. The whole place has actually flooded at the place where we're going to do the event. And at that moment, I was so exhausted, so tired, my heart was broken, but also that I had believed for this long period of time that we're going to be able to get this victory, and three times at least risking my life even just making sure that I was going to be there. And then you realize there's absolutely nothing you can do. So I just felt so disappointed, and I just sat in the room. It's damp, it's smelly, it's cold, and I'm just cried out to Jesus. And over a little bit period of time, subtly, his presence just came into that room. I actually had a scripture verse before I went over there that he just reminded me about. And I remember the disciple had been stuck in a room full of fear. And then Jesus just appeared there. So I just says, Jesus, do that again here with me. And that's exactly what it did. The presence of Jesus just changed the atmosphere in the room. And in a moment, he suddenly started to speak to me. He says, Leith, he says, thank you. And at that moment, I lost it. He says, thank you for coming with me all the way. And thank you for not giving up, but for joining me so far. One of the things that I had to do when I had that night in the hotel room, tried to figure out how to be able to get back again to Lahore from Saiwal, because it was still raining, but I'm supposed to be in a wedding, and I was one of the two chief honorary guests. So this very well-known international board scholar, a religious leader who had been friends for some over 20 years, it would be a dishonor for me to not show up for this event. And that's when the miracle actually happened. As we were coming there, we just realizing around us now the rain stopped the closer we got to the wedding. And by the time when we got there, in a circle around us, we found out later on that there was no rain during the wedding. And they realized that it was very clearly connected. It happened when we drove in, and it stayed that way while it was raining all around. Yeah, over the last couple of years, one of the things that God has done is established me as an ambassador of love. And as part of that role, they've invited me into Minhaj University, and been also last year for the Women College to be able to be a lecturer. They were the master students. This year, I met with the future scholars in Islam. And I spent a day lecturing together with them. And I was actually, the topic I was talking about was the law of love. You have the love of law, that is Sharia, but this is the law of love. One of the things that you have to be ready for is surprises. I got a phone call to my room, and it is my coordinator, Marcus Fida, that said, we just got a call to be invited to meet with the governor, but also to come over to the parliament. So we had a driver then that came and was designated to take us actually behind all of the security, take us into the parliament. And as we even sat there, we got to meet with the Speaker of the House. It's a similar thing, like if you had the Senate or House of Representatives here, when everyone is gathering together. And it was these special issues that was going on, of course, in the time with all the tension that was going on. We were invited in as guests. And as we were sitting there, suddenly they stopped and then introduced the name and said, we have Dr. Leif Hetland, the Ambassador of Love, visiting us today. And the people started to applaud. And afterwards, it was actually Paul Yadav that said it. I mean, your name is written in the book of Pakistan forever. And that's what happened that day. As I continued to be surprised by this uncommon favor, there was another upgrade taking place. We got the call to come and meet with the president of Pakistan. And I was like, No, the president of the country, yes, come up to Islamabad in the middle of everything that is going on. You have been invited to have a private session to meet with the president of the nation. And even for me to be able to share with the president of Pakistan about the love that I have for this nation. And he even referred to me as an ambassador of love back again. So for me, I mean, I left that place. If that's the only thing you had experienced in your lifetime, you have been a very rich and a very wealthy man. So when we were actually leaving, the last 2 days was to be with our Christian family. Would many people call them the persecuted church, the minority, the few believers that are the poorest of the poor, and to see just the heaviness, the oppressions, how they'd be beaten down, coming into a room, and we brought them in from all over, and just watching them starting to worship, and then over the next couple of days, just starting to bring in the presence of Jesus, releasing a baptism of love. And then also, I remember it was just in one moment, we just released, okay, now the presence of Jesus just is going to heal you. And we looked all over the room, and probably about 300 of them just waved, they got healed.
And I healed from cancer and from pain.
So the cancer disappeared.
I do feel that I've been entrusted with something. And I feel it's almost like a fear on the inside. How do I steward that? And the trust that I have won with a group of people, that it will be almost an impossibility for them to trust, especially a Christian like me. How do I represent Jesus in the right way? To all of you who have been praying, that is part of our family, I just want you to know that we are part of history at this very moment. And to have an opportunity to be able to share and share freely the love of Jesus, even in mosque, to be able to release a fresh baptism of love to the persecuted church, and then to be able to, as a Christian, to represent Jesus in such a way that people could see how good God is and how loved they are.
Can we give Jesus a good hand? So again, just thank you so much for just being part of what God is doing. Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Look among the nations and see what I am doing, and be utterly amazed, because I'm going to do something in your days you wouldn't believe it if you were told." And I think that some of the things that we do see, we can just recognizing just the goodness and the kindness of God. And there was a couple of other small testimony I thought to bring into that. There was one moment also where I was meeting with a group of imams. We were just sitting around, and they're top leaders of different streams of Islam. And a couple of them are pretty radical and conservative. But what I was sitting in, if I hadn't had that Friday moment in that hotel room, and what I mean with a Friday, sometimes there is the Good Friday before Sunday is coming. And for me, it was about a 6 months Friday period of time until eventually in that hotel room, you just felt like the sun literally came down. Everything died in that hotel room. And as I was saying, there's times and moments you're afraid you're going to die. Eventually, you're afraid you're not going to die. It kind of gets worse. And it was one of those moments in that hotel room. I started to feel like I was losing it. And then, but after Friday, Sunday is coming. And so after the crucifixion, there is a resurrection. So in this moment, as we were just sitting around it, it was a new freedom that I felt. A lot of the things that I knew is the protocol of things you cannot do. But whom the Son set free is free indeed. That is also whom the sons and daughters set free will be free indeed. So let me even say that to some of you that are trying to figure out, what is my calling? My question would be, what have you been set free from? Because that's connected to who you can set people from. So free people sets people free. Transform people transforms people. So it was one of those things that what the enemy meant for evil, and that's why your song was very profound. Because there you talked exactly about what was happening. That after that storm, there is that peace. After that war, suddenly the victory is coming. So I think that just even your song is prophetic about some other things. So in a moment, I could feel the presence of Jesus, the same one that showed up in that hotel room while I'm sitting with the imams. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And then I got a word of knowledge. And I looked at one of the imam with long beard, and I said, "Do you have a problem with your shoulder?" And the translator were given to him. He looked strange, like, "How do you know?" I said, "Oh, Jesus." And you do not touch them. That is, you do not touch. But I walked right over, touched his shoulder, and the next moment he got totally healed. And his just face changed. And then the other granny mom was sitting there, and he had a broken wrist and with two bones that was a problem. So he got healed. Somebody else got healed. In that little room there, it was like Jesus was showing up.
And then we ended up in another mosque where I was ministering in this one mosque meeting with a leader. And the leader there, who's very influential in the media mountain, meaning 60 million people watches him, including in America, worldwide. So he has an incredible platform. But he started, I mean, before I shared or said anything, he was just sharing that, well, the first time I met him, I had had a stomach issue for 12 years, but then Jesus healed me. And that's a good way to be introduced. I don't have to tell or say a whole lot of things when their leader says. So the rest of the group were just listening that we had to say. So this is one of those overwhelming experiences that for one moment you're getting overwhelmed by fear. And whatever overwhelms you shapes you. But then when you're getting overwhelmed by his perfect love casts out fear. And there was something that happened in that room where I got just so full of his peace. None of my circumstances had changed. I was still in the middle of the storms. But when we left that, I call it my dungeon. So if you had seen that hotel room, it was so strange that even it dropped 10 Celsius just when I walked into the room, this cold damp. Then in the next moment, I'm looking over and this imam-looking being shows up and then disappears. It was one of those rooms that was not very pleasant. But when I left that room, I was free. And I just thought about it. The last time I was preaching here, I was sharing the message, but I didn't know that this message was actually going after me. And I shared a message with you guys, I think, the last time I was here, where these disciples, they were gathering in that room full of fear. This is after the crucifixion, and they are afraid what happened to Jesus is going to happen to them. And then I was sharing then how Jesus just appears in this room. He doesn't have to knock on the door because he is the door. And I'm saying that also, even if you are in a room and in this room or in the environment, you're locked up in something. All you need is just for the presence of Jesus to fill that space in your life. And then after his presence, there was his peace. So that message, I had that with me before I went there. Somebody just reminded me, and I didn't realize it before right now. That was the last thing I shared with you. But sometimes you forget about it. And I'm sitting in this room there in Pakistan. And first it was his presence that came in. Then his peace. And then he showed them his hand and his side. So he released his provision. Whatever need I had, Jesus says, I took care of that. Look at my hands and my side. So that message there from John 20, verse 19 to 23, just became alive for me. The very message I shared here, Jesus was sharing with me in the hotel room. So from his presence, his peace. And then his peace, there was his provision. And then from his provision, the Bible says the disciples became glad. I got a joy in the middle of my sorrow. And then I received another round of peace because I needed double for my trouble. So if you remember, the disciples received peace, peace. And then it says, as the Father sent me, I also send you. They got a new purpose. And with that new purpose, he breathed on them and says, receive, receive the Holy Spirit. They got a brand new power. And that's what happened for me in this room. And then he said, if you forgive the sins of any, they will be forgiven. But if you retain the sins of any, they will be retained. So here we're seeing a message we shared here. But then you're going through this process. You have a seed, but that seed is becoming a tree. And that tree then is about to become a forest. Because what you become, you multiply. So this was an overwhelming experience for me because everywhere we went brought his presence. And then in the next moment, you could release his peace. And then whatever issue was in the mosque or in government, you had his provision because I just received his fresh provision. And then from there, I had his passion, his joy in the middle of it, and then his peace, and then eventually his purpose, his power, but also his perspective, his paradigm. That when I'm looking at Islam, I don't see a problem. I see a promise. You don't see people the way they are, but the way they're going to be. You don't treat people based upon their history, but their destiny. So something had changed because the one you're with is the one you become like. And the one that you're beholding is the one you're becoming. But now what you become is what you leak. You start to release it into the environment. But I remember in that story, twice there was peace. And I shared in the first service that I've been on this journey in my own life, and Greg is part of it, but I've just been home a little bit in this season because I've been at war for so long that somehow you forgot what peace is like. I don't know if there's anybody else. But I'm just sensing that I've been on one battlefield after the other, and it seems like you're fixing one leak, there is another leak. And it just constantly there's been this tension, and I'm just realizing that this incredible favor that God has given me to take me wide, I have to go deeper before I can go wider. So I'm going back into that secret place to just be with him, because when I'm with him, I become greater than I am. And the best thing about Jesus is Jesus. And I'm realizing when I'm with him, there's such a peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. And then if I'm getting full with him, I get peaceful. And then there is an overflow of that peace that starts to flow. And wherever there is peace now, you start to change the environment. We become environment changer. So I've been in this process, and there's three specific areas I've been going after. One of them is rest. The hard work of rest. How many of you know that rest can be hard work? There's this restlessness. Even the Holy Spirit told me 2 days ago, he says, there is a restlessness in you. And I'm realizing that all this restlessness is rooted because the enemy can go and traffic where there is restlessness, because Lucifer himself is restless. And all the demonic realm, and Lucifer left heaven, left this perfect atmosphere, left his home, and the orphan with the orphan spirit, that was Lucifer with all the demonic, they no longer had a home. And so what they're doing is they're going in, and if it can keep us restless, we feel we have to do something to have something, to become something. But in sonship and in family, in covenant, it is very different, because here I am, and because of who I am, I have, and because of what I have, I do. So it is not what you do that makes you who you are. It is who you are that makes you do what you do. But all of that is rooted and grounded in love. All of that is rooted and grounded in love. Hey, it is rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. How high and deep and wide and long is Papa God love for me? Rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. So when the root system goes all the way back into the beginning, into this perfect love, because even before the foundation of the world, he knew you and he predestined you in love. So you in this perfect love, there is no fear and there is no restlessness. That's who you are. And there's a lot of things that is true about Leif Hetland, but knowing the truth sets me free. And the truth is what my papa says about me. Shame is trying to tell me who I am not, but my father always tells me who I am. So what I've been making sure is looking into my past and not let any guilt be there. Looking in the mirror and see me the way Papa God sees me. And also looking into the future and making sure that I do not allow any fear to go into the future. Because he is also my future, and I'm wanted to live in the present with his presence. Because so many times you carry things from the past and then you struggle with the future and what's going to happen next, or finances, retirement, or there's all these different things instead of just being present with his presence. And so I'm in this journey of finding out with the dove, because when the dove is here, things changes. How many of love when the Holy Spirit is resting on you? And I do believe that when we are becoming resting places, the dove finds a place to rest. But then I'm also going after some of those things in my life where the restlessness comes in. And then I remember my story back into the Philippines. And if I give the sermon title, this morning it was like in the first service, it would be Superhero. Say Superhero. Let me ask, have any one of you seen the new Avenger movie? Yes. Most of you have. How many of you like superhero movies? My kids have made me contagious. Say superheroes. Say shoes. And frogs. We're going to talk about superheroes. Shoes and frogs. Or if we can say it in another way, we can talk about frogs. Frogs. Like quack, quack. Frogs and shoes. Say shoes. And superheroes. But we're living in the world, and you will understand a little bit what people are looking for, superheroes.
I saw it when I went to the movie theater, and this place is just filled up with people, and they were watching their superhero. Different ones even had the T-shirts on and everything else. And let me ask you, who is your favorite superhero in the Marvel series? Who is it? Do we have any? Captain America. Who? Iron Man. Oh, wow. Anybody? Yes? Captain Marvel. And I think you had also superhero. Captain Marvel. Thor, yeah. Somebody have the Norwegian roots like me, Thor. And some of you, if you're not into it, I have a purpose with this message, but the world is looking for superhero. Not looking for superstars, but superhero. And actually, I believe that every single one of us as believers is called to be a superhero to this world. And we have superpowers that has been given to us. But there is something that we have been realizing. It's almost like the kryptonite for Superman. And then just realizing that we also have a frog problem. And let me explain that story, because I was traveling from Florence, Alabama to Atlanta. But as I did that, there was delays, and I didn't make that flight, got stuck in Atlanta, had to wait for the next flight, ended up in Tokyo, eventually in Manila. And then when I went to Los Baños, and came to Los Baños, Philippines, I was exhausted. So I thought, I'm going to find me a time to rest and find some scripture verses that I can rest in and then go to bed. But what I realized also that when I was about to go to bed, there were some frogs in my room. And it was not just in my room, it was outside. And then there was frogs on the lawn. There was frogs everywhere. It was like this frog epidemic. So I am trying to find rest, but then I hear this, ribbit, 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 ribbit. So I thought, okay, I have earplugs. I'm putting earplugs. Eventually, I'm putting bows on the top of my earplugs. I put a pillow, and one time I tried to find tape to tape the pillow over there. And still, I was like, no, now I'm going to enter into rest, and then I have that. And then later on, I heard, woo, woo, woo. There was dogs, and it wouldn't stop. I'd had 4 days and 4 nights, and I'm about to speak in this conference about peace. But I'm at war with frogs, and I can't get rid of them. They're in my head. And it was almost like the Holy Spirit says, Leif, this is also much how your life is. And there's different frogs and different colors and different sizes, and they're very subtle, but many of us, we can identify. You may be waking up in the morning, and there's this little ribbit, ribbit. Some of us have it in the body. There's been a pain that you have carried for a long time. Like for myself, after last surgery, the sciatica started thing. So when you're walking, you have that little ribbit for every step you take, ribbit. Or it is the pain. Or some of you, just it's that anxiety that comes. You have to go to that workplace. You're going into that war zone. Or the finances, you're looking at the account, and you have that ribbit, ribbit. And these will not stop. They continue. Or they are perhaps in relationships. Some of you maybe in your marriage have a little ribbit. Don't look now. I mean, we have a frog problem, but it is not just me personally have a frog problem. It's not just sometimes in our marriage or sometimes in our kids or in my office or everywhere else, because often when I bring frogs home, other people also get to be around my frogs. And it just starts to multiply. And as soon as I'm letting room for one little frog here or in one in my mind, it just starts and they multiply very fast. And I just realizing, when I'm going into the Middle East, there's a lot of frog problems. This morning, we turned the TV on for a moment, or actually it was, when we were having a breakfast buffet. And there was all these ribbit, ribbit everywhere. And the news that is out there is this ribbit. In the government, there's going on a lot of, how many knows there's a lot of frogs in the government? I'm a Norwegian, coming as an outsider, but right now I'm hearing a lot of ribbit, going on everywhere. And so I'm just realizing with rabbit text coming in, this week I got an email that my sister got cancer. And it's a very, that was just a few days ago. So as soon as I'm getting into the season of trying to find rest, there's this war against rest. I don't know if you have noticed this, but as soon as you're going in and you're trying to find this place where there is no ribbit, it seems like you're becoming so, and I know just the value of rest based upon how much the enemy hates that I find rest. Because as soon as you have rest, then we're going to learn about the shoes, because then you will walk in peace. And as soon as you do that, you become a superhero that can start to solve some of the ribbit problems. So what is happening, all the enemy is trying to do for us is to be here with the frogs and dealing with the frogs and the different types of frogs. And it's trying to steal rest. And you know you have a frog problem if you go to bed and it's there. And then the next morning you will wake up and they're still there. Some of that restlessness, some of that war that is going on. And that kind of started me in a process looking at some scripture verses and some practical. So I'm on a little journey in life. I wish that it was just one deliverance and the frogs are gone. And then he showed me Exodus 8. Do you remember that story? The story about Pharaoh. And one of the plagues was, so it's biblical. I mean, if this was a plague over Egypt and Pharaoh had a plague and we have a plague problem in the world today. And the world is looking for some superheroes. And Pharaoh comes actually to Moses and eventually he's going to negotiate because he has had enough of these frogs. I mean, if he's going to take a bite of his sandwich, suddenly there's this frog. Or there's frogs in his shoes. Pharaoh's trying to go to bed, there's frogs. The Bible says, there was frogs everywhere. It's like an ocean of frogs. And Pharaoh had enough, and he goes to Moses. And Moses says, okay, are you ready? He's going to release shalom, peace. But then Pharaoh says something I thought was very interesting. When Moses comes and says, would you like to be quit your frogs? Will you lie? And Moses says, excuse me, Pharaoh says, tomorrow. Say tomorrow. Not today. It's very interesting. And it is time for some of us to postpone our procrastinations. I say it is time for some of us to postpone our procrastination. You do not need to go to bed with frogs any longer. You don't need to wake up in the morning tomorrow. You don't need to wait till tomorrow to deal with it. You don't need to deal with those relationship issues or whatever there is frogs. Today is a very good day to be free of frogs. It's time to be free. Whom the sons and daughters set free is free indeed. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not about eating or drinking, but righteousness, say righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. So what it says actually that the kingdom is in the Spirit. The kingdom is in the Spirit. And then righteousness, peace, and joy is being found. 2/3 of the kingdom is peace and joy. And out of this incredible righteousness, the peace and the joy that comes from not having to live with frogs. So I'm going through a 30 days journey to figure out what kind of a frogs and where does the frogs have access to me. And I'm moving into a season to eventually going into the root system of life to be just so rooted in his peace. That I can release peace. And it's beautiful to be able to walk into a mosque and suddenly see Jesus, the Prince of Peace, showing up. It is wonderful to moving into a room and atmosphere where there is tension between the Sunni and Shia and walk into that room and release the Prince of Peace. Because when there is no longer storm on the inside, you have authority over the storms you can rest in. But all the enemy is trying to take the rest out of your journey. And Jesus was asleep in the middle of his storm. And then it took me to the scripture verse, and I love this, Matthew 3:17, which is a foundation for my baptism of love message, where Jesus, before he had done anything, he had a baptism of water. But then something else, heaven opened up. How many here would like to live under an open heaven? I like to do that. And sometimes, my friend Bill Johnson says, the only closed heaven is often here between our ears. But the heaven opened up and it stayed open. And then there was a dove that came down. Say dove. It didn't say there was pigeons that came down. And pigeon religion is very different than when the dove is there. There's a lot of noise when there is pigeons and they make a lot of mess. But I love when the dove comes down. Because when this peace is here and the Prince of Peace is in control. And I'm just laying down all of that. I'm not living in guilt and shame or fear. I'm not living with unforgiveness because love connects, fear disconnects. And when I have that incredible oneness with him and suddenly experience this peace, then the dove comes and rests upon me. And the way you walk,
The way you talk, the way you move is very different when the dove is there. If you are a school teacher, we would say, thank God it is Monday. Because you're walking into that classroom with a dove, a son and a daughter with a dove. You release atmosphere and you change the atmosphere. And Jesus says, all I do is what I see my Father do. All I say is what I hear my Father say. The starting point for Jesus, he had an A plus before he did anything. Just think about it. Before he healed any sick, before he casted out any demon, he had the affirmation of his Father. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Congratulations, before you take the exam, you got an A plus. Why would you want to live from pressure when you can live from pleasure? Son and a daughter with a dove, it changes everything. But in my life, and perhaps in your life, what I do love is when the dove comes there and who I am, because who I am with Jennifer, who I am with our kids, because that identity changes intimacy and it connects me. But sometimes what I realize, where did the dove go? I ended up in traffic in Atlanta and I have pigeons. Frogs came back in and it's this rivets. And here I'm supposed to be the anointed, now I'm annoying. I'm supposed to be prophetic, now I'm pathetic. Something changes in the environment. From a moment, a dove is there. And that's the moment to realize what kind of a frog it is. Dealing with this very thing, so it becomes an upgrade. Because whatever comes against you is an invitation for you to get an upgrade. That's why the book of Romans 8:28 says that he uses all things out for good. That means both the good and the bad, if he uses all things out. So if you recognize that some of the things the enemy sends against me is an invitation for me to have an upgrade. So the very storm that comes against me is actually an invitation for me to have an upgrade in peace. So that I can be more peaceful. And then I can release peace in the area where the enemy attacked. That's why you have authority over the area that the serpent has bitten you. If you don't become bitter, but you become better. And when we recognize that, we don't want to whine, but we want to shine. Because one of the things that's happening in the middle of it, all these things that comes against us leads to more and more upgrades in our life. So I'm saying that in your life, and we're going to land this in a couple of minutes, but this has been the thing that I've been going after in this season. I felt the Holy Spirit started to share by my Northland family. I was not about to speak about that. Actually, until yesterday, I prepared this message that I felt was so excited for you guys, for you to become roaring lambs. What is that? Jesus is the Lamb of God, but he is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And within each one of us, there's that sonship or the daughtership. In you is the Lamb, and there's the Lion. There's another lion out there that is just seeking whom he may devour. And there's the thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And where he came to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus always came to give you life and life more abundantly. And that's part of the restoration, what God is doing in this place, what he's doing in your life, over your family, is that he's taking back what the enemy have stolen. So even when I watch the story about the ring, something just hit me, and it hit me very deeply. I have several stories myself that very, very similar stories where I just realized Luke 19:10. I just want you to write that down in this season. Luke 19:10. It says that Jesus came to save that which was lost. It didn't just say those that was lost. Those are included. But it says that which was lost. And I want to encourage you even in this season to make a list of every area that needs restoration. Any area where the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. I want you now to make a list where Jesus wants to come and give you life and life more abundantly. Because Jesus came to save that which was lost. But sometimes I think it is important for us, and I believe that's what the Lamb's nature does for us. It brings us into humility. The Lamb is leaning back, and the Lamb's nature is the very heart. And Jesus is that Lamb. And the enemy is actually very much afraid of the Lamb in you. Because that lamb did something to the enemy. And sometimes what we are doing is we're trying to be a lion when you're supposed to be lamb. And in the book of Revelation, it doesn't say this is the revelation of Antichrist. It says this is the revelation of... So the future is not about Antichrist, but Jesus Christ. And if you see that, the future is so glorious, you're going to need sunglasses to look into it. S-O-N glasses. But when you're looking in there and looking at Jesus one time and you see it in Revelation 5, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But even when you're looking at a lion, it becomes a lamb. One time in the future, Jesus is a lion, and 24 times he is a lamb. So let's not underestimate the lamb. And I believe this is so much connected to the superhero, because what's going to happen when that roar comes from the lamb's heart? That's why it's easy for you to forgive if you have been forgiven much. To give people mercy because you feel the mercy. Even at one moment in Pakistan, I was just in that place and I said, I know what these people deserve. They deserve some very horrific things. But the lamb in me says, could you place that on me, what they deserve, so they can experience freedom? That's the ministry of reconciliation. You have authority over what you weep over as a lamb, but you also have authority over what you love. So when the roar comes, it comes from the lamb's heart. And people will gather, not scatter. The frogs will leap. And they will run out of the settings because it comes from the lamb's nature. So in this season, I do believe what God is doing is developing the heart of lovers so that we can be warriors. And there's going to be a new roar. Your voice is being restored in this season. And there's going to be an incredible roar of different lion and lionesses, but it comes from the lamb's heart. But part of that also then is to get rid of the frogs. So we can have a frog-free zone. And I'm going through a 30-day process. I think the reason I'm going through the process is so I can help people through processes. If he did it just right away, then if I pray for you and it didn't happen right away for you then. But if you're going through this process and I say, hey, come on. This was a seed. This seed is about to become a tree. And that tree is about to become a forest. So when the ring came in, I remember this story, and that's the last thing. I'm giving you a lot of scripture verses here. Luke 15, this story. What about this father that was looking? This is when the prodigal son is coming home. He has not repented yet, but the father is looking. The father is just full of compassion. Then the father does something. The father is running. And the father then starts to embrace, and then the father kisses. And then you see genuine repentance happens to him. Because it is the goodness and the kindness of God that leads to repentance. But then the next thing that is taking place, the father says, hey, come on, let's get the robe. And I encourage every one of us when it's dealing with peace, because it is the God of peace. I believe in the God of love and the God of holiness and the God of power. But it is the God of peace that is going to crush Satan underneath his feet. It is the very peace that is the currency of heaven that keeps this open heaven, because heaven is a place of peace, and you release shalom when you're walking in peace. A son and a daughter with a dove, peaceful. But after he gives him the robe, it doesn't stop there. It didn't stop, and some of us, we stop with a robe. Wake up in the morning, put on your robe, and see you the way Papa God sees you as his righteousness. Look at the A plus. The robe will get you to heaven, but then you need a ring. The ring brings heaven to you. Let me say that again. The robe gets you to heaven, but the ring brings heaven to you. Don't forget the ring. And there's people that try to have intimacy with Jesus in this season, but they don't know they are married. So we want intimacy without the wedding band. He got both the robe and he got the ring, and then the shoes of peace came. So I'm just encouraging us in this season, say the robe, say the ring, and then the shoes. Blessed are the peacemakers, they are the sons and daughters of God. Those who are led by the Spirit are the sons and daughters of God. And by being led by the dove, there is peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
So my question to you, is there anyone in this room that sometimes struggles with frog problems? Let me see. There's any ribbit. Anyone here, let's be more specific. Physical, that you need physical healing because there's this ribbit. Just even with your mind, there's constantly like a war going on in your mind. There's no stillness. Just there's war going on. It's all over the place. Financially speaking, there's a ribbit. You think about number of finances. What about the future? You just don't know. And there, yeah. So we could just continue. And I think we have about 100% of us that are qualified to get us a fresh baptism of love and then having an encounter with the Prince of Peace, like I experienced in that hotel room. And then to place the robe on you and remember to wake up in the morning with a robe of righteousness and then let the peace and joy flow from there. And then get the ring, the wedding band, the covenant ring, the signature ring of the Father, so that you are totally one, at one meant, atonement, that you're one with the Father and one with the Son, one with the Spirit. I got the ring, and then I put on my shoes of peace, and it's going to be a peaceful night, and it's going to be a peaceful morning, and when the frogs comes in, I can deal with the frogs because I have the shoes on. And I can be a superhero to deal with issues in classrooms, in governments, in the daily life, in my home. I have authority now in the places I go to deal with the frog problems that is in the world, because I'm not having a war with the frogs in my life. Can we stand to our feet? I'm actually doing well on time. I still am on the plus side. Just hold out your hands for a few moments and Father, I just wanted to honor Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Thank you for the peace that comes in your presence. And I just receive in the middle of a room, whatever that room is, could be pain, sickness, disappointments. I felt specifically hope deferred made your heart sick. But when you start to desire again and dream again, it is the tree of life. And I'm hearing even he is going to heal hope today. Oh, restoring hope back in your life. It's not over. Maybe it looks like a funeral, but there's going to be resurrection of dream and resurrection of hope today. So, Father, I just release even now just an impartation. I'm speaking over every person in this room. I speak peace. Peace to who you are. I just release the peace to flow from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Shalom. Hevenu shalom alachem. I speak to any frogs, any noise, any pain, any frogs right now. Let my people go. I just release peace. Peace to who you are. But also peace. I release peace to what you do. I speak peace to your assignment. I speak peace to your calling. And then I also release peace to where you are going. I just saw those three areas. Peace to who you are. Peace to what you do. And peace to where you are going. Peace in regard to your past. Looking in a back mirror and you're looking at the road travel. No more guilt. Peace. 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 Peace to the present, full of his presence. And peace to your future. I bless from this very moment on for your next 30 days that the very superhero that you are is going to be able to put on those shoes of peace, and you're going to walk in peace in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said? Amen.